Amen. And wow, man. Well, the title of this message is Think Back When. This week I had a short conversation with my son, very short. As I told him to not forget to do this and remember to do that. Anybody ever had those conversations this morning? He responded by saying, "I know, Dad, I know, you don't have to remind me." I replied, "Son, it is human nature to forget. Even things we know that we shouldn't forget, we have to be reminded or we'll forget them." Amen. Especially as time passes. I also told him that it's a big part of my pastoral duties when teaching and preaching to remind people what they already know about God, especially in a room of mature believers. I try to bring new insight into his word in fresh ways, but most of the messages are not only filled with reminders of what we already know about God's blessings and warnings, but especially about his character. We all need to be reminded of his character. When we forget who he is and what he has done and his promises, we all forget them. It's easy for us to wander off the course. Should be the fifth book in the Old Testament. Just turn back to the beginning, Genesis, and go forward. Five books. No, four more. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." The Israelites are about to enter into the promised land here. "To humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out, just in case you forgot, nor did your foot swell these 40 years, just in case you forgot. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." It is important to take the time and meditate on what God has done. It's so important. So when the storms of life come at us, and they always do, we don't panic and run to something or someone other than God. How many times has a brother or sister in Christ had to remind us about a promise of God? A lot, right? We forget. It's our human nature. We must make time to reflect on God's character and his faithfulness. Here are a few verses from the Bible which addresses this. I just took a little sampling. The Bible is filled with verses of God saying, "Don't forget me. Don't forget what I've done." In Psalm 143, verse 5, the psalmist writes, "I remember the days of old. I remember them. I remember what you did back there. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands." In Psalm 103, verse 2, the psalmist again writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That's that inner part of us. That's that the subconscious of us that's always working. "And forget not all his benefits." Forget not all that God has done. Count your blessings. Everyone in here has blessings to count. No matter the storms that you're going, maybe you're going through a storm now, you just came out of one or you're about to go into one. Remember all that God has done. Don't forget them. In Psalm 105, verse 5, remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments that he has uttered. Why are we encouraged to remember? So we don't forget them. His miracles, his coming through when we needed it the most. And by the way, God is a judge. And we may not realize it, but we have an accuser that is night and day. The book of Revelation tells us the accuser comes up to the throne of God and he's pointing out all the bad things that we do so that he might gain access into our life, to have legal access. Like, hey, they did this, so I have the right to do this. He's always doing it. Hey, God, did you see them do this? Did you see them do that? We find that example in the book of Job, and Peter writes about it. There's the incidents where Satan was going to come and test Peter, and he had to get God's permission, which means Satan's always coming before the throne. Why isn't there more havoc in our life? Why isn't there more destruction? Because the blood of Jesus. It's the righteousness of Christ that stands before us and that says, no accuser, they are not guilty. And we have no idea of the judgments that Jesus is rendering in our favor every day when the accuser comes to make an accusation against us. And Jesus says, nope, nope, my blood covers them. I speak for him. I declare them not guilty. We have no idea, but know that Jesus, that's happening, that has taken place. And then 1 Chronicles 16:12. Remember the wondrous works that he has done. Oh, I'm sorry, we just read that, didn't we? His miracles and the judgment he uttered. So again, why is it that we are not to forget what God has done for us? Because the devil will come in and lie and get us looking to something else to save us instead of God. In that moment of crisis, when the whole world is coming down upon us, when our enemies surround us, if we don't remember what God has done, we just may in that moment run to something in the cabinet to help us get through it. Maybe call that person that has been a supplier for us in one way or the other through the years that we no longer associate with because we forget what God has done for us. Maybe we're quick to call the doctor when they had that sore throat instead of calling upon God. Remember that he's carried us through sickness time and time again. The devil will come in those moments of crises, and he'll say, look here, look here, look here, look at there. You need to do this, trust in that. And if we don't remember that God is on the job, that God has called us to look to him first, we'll forget. It's just who we are. It's our human nature. So we see this thing time and time again in the book of Judges. The nation starts doing well. Then they forget what God has done for them, and then they turn away to their other gods. If you have a second, go ahead and turn back to Judges chapter 8. It's really the ending of the study and the story of Gideon, if you're familiar with that story. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, actually. A lot of good preaching material comes from this section of Judges. Beginning in verse 32 of chapter 8. Later, Gideon, son of Joash, died at a ripe old age and was buried in the tomb of his father, Joash, in Ophrah of the Abizarites. And as soon as Gideon was dead, the Israelites turned and prostituted themselves with the Baals. And they set up Baal-berith as their god. Amazing, isn't it? The Israelites failed to remember the Lord, their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. They did not show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, for all the good things he had done for Israel. I don't know if you remember the story of Gideon or not. Israel was being constantly harassed by their neighbors, would come down and raid their lands. And they had to hide what they were doing to produce fruit and hide their orchards and stuff like that. And Gideon was down in the wine press. He was hidden. And Israel was crying out for a deliverer at that point. Lord, would you save us? Would you save us? And God chose Gideon to be their leader. And so as you follow the story of Gideon, he doesn't have much confidence in himself. He fleeces the Lord a couple times, and God proves that Gideon has been called indeed by the Lord. They fight an incredible battle with just 300 people against overwhelming odds. God gave them victory and victory and victory again, and finally gave them freedom from their oppressors. As we pick up, as we just read the end of this story. So Israel had been saved. They'd been rescued. God answered their prayers. And then before the dirt, the last pile of dirt, the last throw of dirt was on Gideon's face, they had prostituted themselves. And the Bible tells us explicitly it's because they did not remember what the Lord has done. We forget, don't we? Well, as we are winding up 2022, I wanted to briefly take a moment to remember what the Lord has done for our church. I'm just going to ask that you would maybe speak out a few things that he's done this past year that you can remember. The tent meeting, absolutely. Good News Club, absolutely. The playground, absolutely. Those are on my list. The baptismal, absolutely. The what? Brought new people in, absolutely. Man, made you part of our family. Amen. Amen. We stayed healthy all year, absolutely. Overall, absolutely. What else has God done this year for us? Man, brought children in our services. What a joy it is to have kids in the service. Man, what else has he done? Strengthen our faith. Absolutely. Praise God. Let's keep going. The after school program. Absolutely. Restarted the children's ministry. What else? Oh, that is a gift from the Lord. That is a work of the Holy Spirit, absolutely unifying us. What else? Man, increase the numbers in our discipleship group. He's helping us make more disciples, right? What else? We got a lot. Come on. He brought another musician. We've been praying for a musician up here to join our ranks for 5 years, man. A guitar player specifically. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah, man. The picnic. Man, God gave us just amazing weather and helped me catch a bigger fish than Alex. Y'all should have seen my fish that day. Gave Alex a huge old fish. I think it was about as big as me that he pulled out of Homer Lake. That was amazing. Yeah, the picnic was a blessing. What else? Yeah, the parade and the bazaar. He made that possible. Help us to be a light in the community. Absolutely. What else? The women's group continues to sustain and grow, bring out discipleship out of that. Absolutely. And our teachers, right? Yeah, and the McDowells and Larry and Bonnie Joe and the various ones that are discipling others around here, teaching in different ways. We got the Lambs and all those who help out. Yeah, God has provided that. What else? Our prayer chain. Thank the Lord for our prayer chain and answering those prayers, right? Yeah. Man, I've never seen a prayer chain where there are more prayers answered consistently than our prayer chain. Amen. What else? Absolutely. Yes, man, having a generous heart is a gift of the Holy Spirit, to be givers and not takers. This is one of the most generous groups of people I've ever been a part of, church family I've ever been a part of. Amazing. What else? Amen. Praise God. Yes, for the women's thing. The pizza ministry, touching lives, every month touching lives. We're seeing fruit from that. We have a gal comes on our Good News Club, and she's beginning to just kind of, we're reaching out to her. She was from that ministry. Absolutely. And who knows what's it? The baptisms. Amen. Amen. God brought some baptisms. And along with the baptisms, he brought salvations, didn't he? Amen. God has used us as a tool to expand the kingdom of God. Yeah, Chase? Our Thanksgiving meal. Whoa, there's a blessing, wasn't it? And provision. I'm still working off that blessing. Amen. Healing for sicknesses, absolutely. Brought Gary through an operation just about a week ago, a couple weeks now. Amen. It continues to heal us. Yes, thank you. Our family, yes, thank you. And for our church family as well, thank you. The Christmas tree. Man, we got a bargain on this Christmas tree. Our other one was Frankenstein. It was like a combination of 12 different trees. And so we endeavored this year, like, man, we're going to find a Christmas tree, but we're not going to pay $800 for it like they charge at Home Depot. And we were able to find one on Facebook, and Kelly and Shannon went down and picked it up down Terre Haute. And, you know, it's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. We got a good deal on it, too. Yeah, Jay. Shannon, absolutely. Absolutely. As we begin to close here in just a minute, don't let me forget that. And just kind of wave your hand and before everybody is dismissed, and we'll bring up and pray for you, okay? Yeah, Lena. He's with Jesus.
But anyway, and the healing I received, that's a personal thing, I know, but it was sent by God. I know.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God. That was by God. That was God's grace. And he continues to pour that out. Others have got jobs this year. They needed a job, and God provided a job. What else? Just a couple more. Yep. Yes. Amen. Our missions, God continues to provide for missionaries through our giving in amazing ways. Amazing ways. Yeah, just how about one more? Healed relationships. Absolutely. Yes, God is healing and brought freedom in relationships. It's amazing to see what he does. So this little exercise that we just did was intentional. I want to encourage you to do this with your families. So there's more personal things I know that happen within families, and it's something to be shared within families, but I want to encourage you to not forget these, or even if we don't have a family, even by ourselves, to just sit down and write down the blessings, count your blessings, what God has done, so that we don't forget. Now, our own family, we sit down every year before the year changes, so that'll be this coming week, and we write out prayers for the upcoming year. Like, what do we want God to do in our lives? How do we want to be used by God? And we read back the prayer, and then we read back the prayers from the closing year. And we are always amazed at what God has done and how he has answered prayers. So I'm not just suggesting this little exercise for the sake of, you know, filling up a few minutes. I am suggesting this because we do this every year, and I'm telling you, it's a huge blessing. I want to talk about stones, and I'm almost finished here. Stones of remembrance. Does anybody know what that is? Let me read you from Joshua chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. So as the Israelites were about to walk and cross the Jordan River, they ran into a problem. The Jordan River, right? Now, if you remember, not too many years before that, God had done a huge miracle in parting the Red Sea. And many of these people, or at least some of them, were still maybe alive, a part of that. At least two of them were, I know that for sure. Here's what the Bible says about this crossing. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. I believe I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So did you know that there were two instances of this in the Bible? Most of you did know this. So when the people following Joshua arrived at the Jordan, the river was at flood stage, transforming it from its typical 100-foot width, only 100 feet wide, to a daunting mile-wide raging river. Israel's entrance into Canaan was completely blocked. But as soon as the priests dipped their feet into the river's edge, it stopped on both sides. Y'all, that is a huge miracle. That is something like only God can do. And the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they stood in the middle of the riverbed until everybody had passed through. So after the people of Israel supernaturally crossed the Jordan River to enter the Promised Land, God then commanded Joshua to choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan and carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. These stones of remembrance would serve as a permanent national reminder and a memorial to future generations of the miraculous river crossing. God likes to be remembered. You too can do a Stones of Remembrance project by finding smooth stones, writing on them the faithful acts of God throughout the year, and then place them on the shelf and remember to look at them through the year as a reminder. Now, I realize that it's not easy to find a smooth stone or even to carry them around. Our family also has another tradition. And I know it seems like, you know, we have all these traditions. We actually do, though. We love the Lord, and we just want to remember him. And I'm going to show you why here in just a second, why this is so cool. So if stones are too heavy, we do something called scrolls of remembrance. Do we have that pic? Oh, you see it right here? We went on Google, and we pictured, found little scrolls, and we were able to make a whole, like a sheet of them. You can find sheets of them, and we just cut them out. Cut out little scrolls. And then on the scrolls, we write down what God has done for us this year. And then we put them in a little, is it a stocking? See the treasure box up here at the top? We put these little pieces of paper, what God has done, in the treasure box. And then we go back and we look at them. Sometimes we don't look at them throughout the year, but at the end of the year, we definitely look down, and then we start writing again what God has done, so that we don't forget. It's our treasure box. And here's why it's so important. In Malachi 3:16, it reads, "Then those who feared the Lord, they spoke to one another." Right? There's conversation going on about the Lord. "And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." Know that the Lord is seeing them talk about him. The Lord is there listening to them talk about his exploits and the great things he's done. We have a book of remembrance back here on the baptistry of what God has done in this church, miracles and healings that God has done throughout the last few years. I want to encourage you to pick that up once in a while and just kind of read. It's inspiring. So as we close here today, when times are tough and when doubts come about God's character, or you need a prayer answered, grab one of those rocks, those scrolls, or whatever it is that reminds you of his faithfulness, and choose to remember. If he did it once, he can do it again, and he will do it again. Remembering his faithfulness builds our faith. God's faithfulness fills up our faith. It's amazing. Well, with that said, I'm going to ask Shanna, you know, if y'all would just lay your hands on her. Anybody would like to come over and actually, Shanna, come on up. Come on up here. It'd be easier. Shannon, excuse me. We have, is it four Shannas in the church or a derivative of that name? I apologize. Shannon. Anybody else need prayer this morning? Maybe something in their body, they need healing for any sickness, or maybe you want to pray and stand in the gap for somebody else you know that's sick. Let's finish this year.
I also want to pray for Wilma. She's having surgery on the 9th.
Wilma, okay. All right. Yeah.
He needs prayer. He's got high blood pressure today.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we are gathered around, Lord, to pray for one another as your word tells us to do. Mm-hmm. Father, we've seen in this year you do amazing things. We've seen you touch bodies. We've seen you touch lives. We've seen you resurrect dreams and hopes. We know that you are a God, that there is nothing that you can't do. Mm-hmm. Lord, as the angel told Mary that day, that all things are possible. Father, we believe that your faithfulness will carry us through, that even your faithfulness builds our faith. So we call upon your glory and we call upon your touch. Father, we pray that in the name of Jesus, you will heal Shannon. And the things going on in her body, we pray that everything on the operation would run smooth, that you'd give the doctors skill, that you'd bring her through it, that there would be no complications or anything, God. And we thank you for healing her and bringing her back into wholeness. We pray for Wilma's eyes, Lord, as she has surgery this week. Again, we pray that you'd give the doctor skill, and that there'd be no complications or infections, Lord, from that. We lift up Gary and high blood pressure, and anybody dealing with high blood pressure this morning. Father, we ask that you would bring it right on down, that the peace of God would infuse our bodies and every cell in our body. And Lord, we declare the blood of Jesus over the blood that runs through our body.
Yes, Lord.
Father, and all its benefits. God, by your stripes we've been healed, and we call upon he who is faithful, Lord, to be faithful to your word. We thank you, God. And anybody else that's going through sickness today or pain or just struggling, Lord, physically, we ask that you would touch their bodies. And Lord, be with my dad, Lord, who It needs a lot of help this morning, but I thank you for what you've brought him through, and we thank you for the favor that you've given him, and we pray for a room tomorrow. We pray for Suzanne Woodard's dad and mom, Lord, and her and their family as they go through this difficult season, Lord, and all those, Lord, that need a touch from you. We thank you, God, for your peace and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless you. Have a great day.